Okay, thank you. The focus of my presentation today is looking at the association between violence exposure and ADHD symptoms among youth. I want to acknowledge a bevy of co-authors and also to thank the CDC for their funding in terms of cooperative agreement over the last 10 to 15 years for the Healthy Passages study, which I'll explain in somewhat more detail. And I have no relationships to disclose. So attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a disorder of childhood onset characterized by problems with concentration, impulse control, and overactivity. Higher rates of ADHD symptoms and diagnoses have been documented in trauma-exposed adults and maltreated children in particular. Evidence suggests some possible etiological mechanisms for this association. Some suggest the chronic activation of the body's stress response system results in an overactivation of the neurological pathways responsible for the fight or flight response, with resulting changes to the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal or HPA axis, which in turn has effects on the amygdala and hippocampus. Some brain imaging studies have found that some brain differences in trauma-exposed individuals with smaller structure volume in the corpus callosum. Collectively, these brain structures play an important role in the development of self-regulatory behaviors and executive functioning, including impulsivity, distractibility, and hyperactivity. Although associations between child abuse and ADHD have been examined in limited capacity, violence exposure more broadly has not been the subject of empirical scrutiny. Youth exposure to violence is a significant public health problem, with prevalence estimates as high as 60% in high-risk populations, such as those from high-crime urban areas, impoverished areas, and those where households characterized by child maltreatment or intimate partner violence. However, even in general population studies, for example, David Finkelhorn colleagues reported that 1 in 4 children had witnessed the victimization of another individual in the past 12 months of that assessment period. Given the link between the high rate of violence exposure among youth and increasing rates of ADHD diagnoses, this association warrants further investigation. In addition, some have suggested that there may be some differences by gender. For example, males evidence more ADHD symptoms or diagnoses than females, and also tend to report higher rates of victimization or witnessing violence. So the goal of the current study was to examine the role of violence exposure and ADHD symptoms in a large general population sample of fifth graders. We were interested in whether the degree of violence exposure, specifically those without any exposure, those who had witnessed only, and those who were both witnesses and victims, would have different rates of ADHD symptoms. And we were also interested in whether patterns between violence exposure groups and ADHD symptoms would vary by gender. The sample for this study was the Healthy Passages cohort. Healthy Passages is a multi-informant, multi-method, longitudinal study of adolescent health. The study is designed to characterize developmental trajectories and multi-level risk and protective factors on adolescent health behaviors and health risks. a two-stage sampling procedure was employed to recruit the Healthy Passages cohort. Specifically, schools with an enrollment of at least 25 or more fifth graders were randomly selected in each of 3 geographic sites, and with probabilities proportionate to a weighted measure of the scarcity relative to ethnic racial targets. In other words, minority groups were oversampled for this study. In the second stage, all selected schools from the first stage were invited to participate. As a result of the survey design, sampling weights, and clusters within schools were developed and are included in all of the models. The baseline sample for Healthy Passages is 5,147 participants. Both the children and their caregivers, or their primary caregiver, participated in all the interviews. Data were collected when the children were in 5th, 7th, and 10th grades. Data for the current study will be from the 5th grade assessment. As far as the representation of gender and ethnicity, the groups are approximately equal in terms of gender, with a slightly higher representation of Hispanics, followed by African American, non-Hispanic white, and those of other races. The median income was $30,000 to $35,000. The measure of interest was exposure to violence. We looked at whether the participant endorsed that they had seen the victimization of another individual by estimating the frequency of four specific items. An example of that is, in the past 12 months, have you seen anybody hit, kicked, punched, or beaten up? Seven items asked whether they themselves had been the victims of a particular of one of seven items. An example of that is, how often in the past 12 months have you been threatened or injured with a knife? Based on responses to these groups of items, three mutually exclusive groups were created: those who did not witness any violence or victimization, those who witnessed only violence, and those who were both witnesses to and victims of violence experiences. The outcome measure was ADHD symptoms. The caregivers of the children responded to eight items indicating yes or no from the ADHD predictive scales of the diagnostic interview schedule for children. The affirmative responses were scored, so number of ADHD symptoms ranged from 0 to 8, and inter-item reliability was 0.76 for these items. This table demonstrates the mean number of ADHD symptoms for the total sample and then for boys and girls separately, as well as the prevalence or the percentages of children who fell into each of the three violence exposure groups for the total sample and for boys and girls separately. As you can see here, there are significant gender differences, with boys evidencing more ADHD symptoms compared to girls. In terms of violence exposure, 72% of participants endorsed having witnessed or been victims of at least one violent event. And gender differences, again, were evident here, with more girls than boys being in the no violence exposure group, and more boys than girls being in the group that had were both witnesses of and victims of violence. Regression analyses were conducted first for the total sample to look specifically at the effect of gender, violence exposure group. The no witnessed violence group was the referent group. And we looked at two gender interactions, a gender by witness only group and then the gender by witness and victimization group. The interaction between gender and witnessed only was not significant and was dropped from the final model. All the coefficients include controls for income, site, and race ethnicity. And as you can see, there was a significant effect for gender, with males again showing more ADHD symptoms, and the both having been both witnesses to and victims of violence relative to the no violence exposure group had a significantly higher number of ADHD symptoms. The gender interaction with this particular group was also significant. As a result, we stratified the analysis by gender, reran it to look to see if we could identify patterns of differences between gender. As you can see here, both boys and girls, again, had higher rates of symptoms if they were in the both witnesses to and victims of category. To look at this a little further, you see the graphical representation here. Although boys evidenced more symptoms overall, regardless of their violence exposure group, the girls show a higher incline of symptoms for those who are both in the witnessed and victim group relative to the slope for the boys. In conclusion, ADHD symptoms increased along a gradient of violence exposure. The highest number of symptoms reported were among the group who were both witnesses to and victims of violent experiences, and these differences may be stronger for girls than for boys. Some limitations are worth note. First, the study was cross-sectional in that both the assessment of violence exposure and ADHD symptoms were collected at the same time and covered the same time frame. Thus, longitudinal or causal conclusions are limited with this regard. The assessment of ADHD symptoms were restricted to only 8 items and did not include assessing in more than one context. They also relied on parent reports, so we don't have corroborating clinical diagnoses. However, I should note that 14% of caregivers indicated that their child had been diagnosed or told by a healthcare professional that their child had ADHD, and 7% of caregivers indicated their child was on medication. Both having been on medication and having ever been diagnosed were also significantly associated with being in the witness and victimization group in separate analyses not reported here. Also, the assessment of items were slightly weighted towards issues of inattention versus hyperactivity and impulsivity. So future directions should extend this role to looking at the frequency, severity, and context in terms of violence exposure and the association with ADHD symptoms. Also, a longitudinal examination such that ADHD is assessed prior to the onset of symptoms, but where violence exposure has occurred, to enable more causal interpretation of findings. And finally, future research should also look at trauma exposure with regard to the manifestation of certain symptoms characterized by ADHD versus others. For example, some suggest the hyperactive impulsive combined subtype is more closely linked to genetic heritability. So in trauma-exposed groups, it may be that those who are evidence or may have a higher rate of symptoms related to inattention and distractibility versus hyperactivity. So finally, these findings support emerging literature demonstrating the deleterious effects of trauma exposure on symptoms related to behavioral self-regulation and executive functioning. These findings may have implications in the assessment of ADHD among violence-exposed children, specifically clinicians and pediatricians servicing children with ADHD symptoms should assess trauma history, and given the overlap in some symptoms of PTSD and ADHD, should examine whether there may be issues of misdiagnosis or whether trauma-based treatment and services may improve symptomology among trauma-exposed children. Thank you. Mm-hmm.